Editor Travis from the future here. Before we start the show, I wanted to point out that this episode was recorded 2 days before right-wing pundit and Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk was killed in an apparent assassination attempt while doing an event at Utah Valley University. I mention this because Kirk was briefly brought up in our conversation for this episode in a context that was based on him being alive and well at the time. Out of respect for those in mourning, that particular portion of the episode has been edited down so as to keep the focus on our state governor, which is the true subject of this episode. However, you'll notice that Tom and I held unfavorable views of Mr. Kirk's politics, his advocacy, and his public persona. And the expression of those views of him from us are still present in the final edit. We still stand by those positions, though we never wished violence to fall upon him, his loved ones, or his followers. Our condolences go out to his family. Thank you. Now, on with the show.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We are in September. It's kind of when real summer happens. Like, summer's supposed to be from June to August, but around here, it's like, it really starts in August.
Well, when you think about it, like, for Southern California temperature-wise, June, you're just thinking of getting out of school or getting to vacation. July, it's about fun party time, but, yeah. Like, the summer vibe feel,
yeah.
It's not end of August, September. Like, because yeah. Then, like, seems like the weather, like, has finally balanced out humidity with heat in September. So it's like, yeah, summer's really here now, even though fall happens in 2 weeks from now, from the time of the recording.
Yeah, so I just thought that I needed some way to segue to talk about California. California's been in the news, the national news lately, mainly through the actions and behavior of our governor, Gavin Newsom. Let's talk about Gavin Newsom, because people are going to be talking about him more often. Because he wants to run for president in 2028.
He's got a podcast now.
He's got a podcast, which hasn't produced an episode since April. I don't
know.
Yeah, I looked it up. It was like they only it started at the beginning of the year, and the last episode was like in April. And I'm like, okay, he's a governor. He's got things to do. He's a little busy. So I'm not the biggest Gavin Newsom fan. You know, he's an example to me of a guy who could only get elected in a one-party blue state like California. So I did a little looking up of Gavin Newsom, and he says he did not grow up wealthy, but he did grow up close. Like, his family was friends with the Getty family.
Whoa.
Because he's from NorCal, and that's kind of, so he's, you know, Bay Area, San Francisco, that kind of thing, wine country. But yeah, he was like, yeah, he's like childhood friends with some of the Gettys. And if you don't know who the Gettys are a wealthy family. A lot of their generational wealth came from oil. It used to be a company called Getty Oil, run by the patriarch John Paul Getty, who was played by Christopher Plummer in the Ridley Scott film All the Money in the World.
I thought it was Kevin Spacey.
What? I don't think that happened. That's another reality. We don't talk about that. And because one of his sons got kidnapped by like terrorists, or what was the event of that movie? Kidnapped by terrorists, and then he got like
ransom for money and stuff.
Stockholm syndrome became like I forgot what the full story of that was, but anyway,
I just know there's a movie and FX had fun with it. Apparently FX did a better job, from what I've heard.
Yeah. I don't think they have any interest in oil anymore. I think they sold all those off, but you know, they still have a lot of money. And you see their name in a lot of notable institutions around California, the Getty Villa, the Getty Art Museum, most famously, which is an art museum in the hills of I want to say L.A., but I also want to say, like, which part of L.A., and it's like, I know it's like you drive down.
Yeah, I've been there once. They got good burritos.
Yeah. Did you go on a school field trip?
I had to go because I was an AP photo. I had to go visit, take some pictures.
Oh, okay.
It was a nice time with my parents. We had the monorail. I had a black bean and white rice burrito. And trust me, that to me was the most memorable part.
Yeah, which
is weird to say.
I remember
the Big Rock. Got the Big Rock.
Oh yeah, I remember going once on a field trip. Yeah, it's like you park down below, but then there's like a two-way monorail tram that takes you up through the hills to the actual museum in of itself. I think that was roughly spared by the fires that happened in January, but it was in an affected area.
They just closed it off for safety. But, you know, the Getty name is well known in Cali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, close with money. He's always been close with NorCal money, whether wine money, Getty money, or
oil money,
Silicon Valley money now. And, you know, then he became a figure in San Francisco politics, much like our former vice president, Kamala Harris, who will probably run against him in the Democratic primary in 2028 because she thinks she's still got it. Yeah. And he became the mayor of San Francisco for a couple terms. And then in 2010, he wanted to run for governor then. But all the vibes were pointing to Jerry Brown, mm-hmm. who was already governor once before, but then he was running again, and he was attorney general at the time, so the hype was with him, and Newsom was like, okay, fuck that. I'm going to run as lieutenant governor, which is a separate position on the ballot in California. So he served as lieutenant governor under Jerry Brown for 8 years, and then he ran for governor. After Jerry Brown termed out, he ran to replace him in 2018. I remember that election. That was the one time I actually volunteered for another campaign. I volunteered for a Democrat that was woefully unsuccessful running for governor in the primary, John Chung, because I just thought John Chung was I just thought he was better for the job, and I thought Gavin Newsom was a fucking showboat. I still think that. But that race was really about Gavin Newsom and Antonio Villaraigosa. It was like the NorCal versus SoCal primary because Villaraigosa was the former LA mayor. Yeah, it was like Silicon Valley money versus Hollywood money.
Yeah.
But Newsom won, and Newsom was kind of considered the front runner from the get-go, probably because he was lieutenant governor. So the vibe was, well, obviously it's got to be him. He's the next one and whatever. So he's been our governor he'll term out next year. He'll term out in 2026. And he thinks he can run for president. I think the best thing that ever happened to him was the fact that they tried to recall him. Remember the 2021 recall where a bunch of people were mad enough about COVID and how he handled COVID? Because he was a little more restrictive than other state governors were. But there was also that incident where he went to like a private dinner with no masks.
Hypocrite and shit.
Yeah. Again, like, oh, yeah.
No one across the country handled it well because they're a bunch of fucking morons. No one did. No one really. No, really, no one handled it well.
Yeah. And Trump basically just went absentee at the wheel. So it's like, you figure it out yourself.
And then the thing with that recall was just like, this is going to be a great waste of our time and money.
Which it was, because it was basically, I mean, the way our recall system is so stupid, because it's like, you have two things to vote for. It's like, do you vote that he should be recalled or not? And then the second question is, if the governor is removed, who do you want to replace him? And they want that decided in the same election, whereas I think that should be like a two-election situation.
It should be a two-part thing.
Yeah, kind of like how some states do, or some places do runoffs, if like nobody got over a 50% threshold or whatever.
Yeah.
And it became very clear that if Newsom got recalled, it would have been this like MAGA right-wing radio guy by the name of Larry Elder who would replace him as governor. I think too many people, I think a lot of people are like, fuck that, I'll stick with Gavin for a while.
That guy trying to get him recalled too, I'm just like, oh, you listen to him talk, you listen to him do the more personal, intimate interviews, especially you did one with Ben Shapiro. I'm like this, oh, no, I get it. You're just mad at your dad for being a bastard.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm like, really, dude? Like, oh, at a young age, I couldn't comprehend why my dad was working so many hours and yeah. And it's like, dude, I remember when I was growing up and my dad was doing overtime, I just looked at my mom like, is my dad working? Yeah. I'm like, all right. Like, I could comprehend at a young age, oh, dad's out there busting his ass, so I'm not going to just bother him. He'll come to me. Mm-hmm. or there'll be a moment, not like, you know, I'm mad at you for working so hard and just not really having the time of day for me. It's like this, dude, you're fucking almost, what, 60? Like, suck it up, you little bitch. You fucking little pussy, dude.
You've
like,
learned, you've listened to more Larry Elder than I did, man.
No, that's why I was like, I hope this guy fucking crashes and burns. Because I'm like, one, the concept of a recall just at that time, I get certain needs for a recall.
Yeah.
The concept, though, for this specific situation with Newsom, I'm like, this is stupid. This is just a waste of time and bullshit politics.
And I think he won the I think he beat that recall by like 70-something percent. It was like a massive landslide.
And then it was funny how every conservative got quiet after that, right?
Oh, yeah.
They got so quiet. But then the guy who was doing it, the elder dude, like I said, I'm just like, you could tell it's like, oh, yeah, you can't get over your dad for some reason at almost, what, 50 years old. It's like, dude, really? Your dad told you to shut the fuck up once because he was really tired from working two jobs. Like, oh my God. Like, fuck. Like, no. That's to me. No, sorry. No, I have a hardworking father. I remember growing up at times when I wouldn't see him on a weekend because he was doing overtime. Stop being a bitch. That's being said, that's just some pussy shit.
God. So, like, Newsom is a corpo dem just like.
Any other corpo dem?
Just like most Democrats, you know, kind of like middle of the road. You know, appeals to subservient to corporate interests most of the time. I mean, sometimes he does some good things here and there. I'm as someone who's opposed to the death penalty, I do appreciate his half measure of suspending executions while he's governor, which could be undone by the next governor. I'm of the opinion that the state, not like, you know, one of the United States, but like the broader concept of the state has no right to decide who lives or dies. Only God can decide that. No matter how much I think a person doesn't deserve to live, I don't think the government has the right to make that choice. That's just me. The most egregious thing that I don't like about Gavin Newsom, that the thing that like put him on my shit list for me, was that he actually vetoed a bill passed in the assembly that would have granted single-payer healthcare in California, aka Medicare for all, but for California. He vetoed that. You know, we could have had like a universal healthcare system in California, but he vetoed that. Why? Well, you know, because he's probably friends with the insurance
Someone's
companies.
In his pocket.
Or he's in their, or he's in somebody else's pocket.
Someone's jerking off someone.
Yeah. So
a circle jerk.
Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, that kind of put him on my shit list, and basically, you know, making it to where I am almost certain I will not vote for him come the 2028 primary. But he's gonna run for president. And,
very obvious he is.
And he's at the top. I mean, it's way too early right now, but at the way too early Democrat primary polls of like, who would you want, who would Democrats prefer to be the nominee for 2028? He's at the top of the polls because he is making himself out to be like the definitive anti-Trump governor, doing tweet fights with him.
Yeah. So that helps everybody out.
I will say though, I like the approach that he's been doing, where it just not as like a substantive strategy, but just like it's funny, where he's been using his Governor Newsom press office Twitter profile to tweet like Trump does, which is like an all caps hyperbole.
Thank you for this message, or thank you for your attention to the matter.
You know, stupid Donnie, like calling Donald Trump names.
Do you think he'll do our PD Weedy? You think he'll take that from us?
Okay, so this is like in the last, this is from like the last summit with Putin.
Okay.
Where this is from an official tweet from Gavin Newsom. Again, all caps. Trump just fled the podium with Putin. No questions, nothing. Total low energy. The man looked like he had eaten three buckets of KFC with Vlad. Is he afraid the press will ask about me, America's favorite governor, and the fact that I, quote, stole the cameras, end quote, this week with, quote, the maps, end quote? Many people are saying he begged Putin to hold his hands, parentheses tiny, on the way out. admit it, Donnie J, you're terrified because this was the worst week of your life because of me, Gavin C. Newsom. The maps will end your presidency, retake Congress for the people, and expose your rigged little game. My perfect maps are more beautiful than anything in Trump Tower, which many say smells weird. At Stephen Chung 47, explain this disaster. Enjoy your flight home, Donald. You're Putin's problem now. I'm America's solution. -GCN. Gavin C. Newsom.
I hope during the next primary, though, that Twitter is like illegal for politicians to use. I really do.
What makes this funny? I think Chris, I didn't realize this until Chris Hayes from MSNBC pointed this out, where he said that what makes this interesting is that it's kind of reminding us that the way that Trump talks and types is not normal.
No.
Like, that is not... We've gotten so used to it because it's been over 10 years since Trump went down the escalator. Fuck me, that was 10 years ago.
Well, we got used to it for, like, what, how many years with The Apprentice? We're just used to it.
Yeah,
it's just a man. It's a showmanship mannerism.
We're so used to a U.S. president talking like that.
Yeah.
That to watch someone else do it, let alone a Democrat, it kind of resets us and goes, wait, this isn't right.
It's the equivalent of doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. Like, you know, it's just like, this is weird how you sound, yet it oddly works just for you. It's like, we love the Terminator for it, but like, I would hate someone at like my house doing this every day.
Yeah.
I'm like this. No, like, what the fuck? Like, are you sure Chris Pratt likes talking to you?
Oh, we didn't even talk about the podcast with him. I forgot. He started up his own podcast because everybody wants to start their own podcast these
days. It's like
days.
It's like the bar.
Say that as we look into the mirror. But yeah, no, like Snap Newsom's like, I'm going to start a podcast where I reach out to a bunch of far right wackos as like, I'm going to reach across the aisle. And he did like his first guest was Charlie Kirk. Fucking Charlie Kirk. One of the most inauthentic people I've ever listened to in short bursts in my life. He's more phony than Ben Shapiro, honestly. Ben Shapiro actually sounds like he believes some of the shit that he says. Charlie Kirk just sounds like a grifter.
He just wants money. But that's why that one, the first episode, I'm like, oh, this is staged. Because you were like, oh, I had actually a really good time talking to Newsom. Like, we disagreed, but we enjoyed it. I'm like, dude, I've heard you say, like, fuck this dude.
And then he went on like, and then later there's like a clip of him going on a Fox News show where he calls Newsom one of the most like inauthentic people he's ever talked to. Like, yeah, that man is all about, which is funny, like all the stuff he says about Newsom, I'm like, he's right. I'm like, you're right, but I could say this about you too.
But it's like, this dude, you were on your podcast the day after that interview saying like, it was actually really nice, it was nice gentleman to talk to. Yeah, then on, but of course, when you're on Fox News, you have to say something else.
The thing about the Charlie Kirk thing is that, like, when they brought up the thing about trans women in sports, and I phrase it specifically that way because they don't care about trans men in sports. Because they don't care about women's sports, they just want women to stay in the kitchen. Remember, that's what the whole trans panic that the Republicans are pushing is all about. But Newsom. He tried to do this like meet in the middle thing where it's like,
would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. So that's easy to call out the unfairness of that.
It's like a sign that the Democrats are going to throw this minority community under the bus. Which I've heard a lot of rumblings that Democrats have kind of signaled that, like, oh yeah, we're going to be less hawkish about LGBTQ rights in the next presidential election cycle. You know, because Democrats, they never learn. They're like, we need to go further to the right. If we lose, we need to go further to the right. If we win, we need to go further to the right. It's like alcohol for alcoholics. You drink for the bad days. You drink for the good days. There's no situation where you're not drinking, you know? It's just, you know, so don't make it seem like, you know, you're going to the, you know, you're doing this in response to something. No, you just do this shit anyway. So, yeah, like, okay, they decided They're gonna slightly cave or dog whistle to some Republican talking points on queer people, which are mean, disgusting, abhorrent, and they all go fuck themselves. And to me, that's gonna be like a.
Yet they'll still keep playing Elton John music.
So yeah, Gavin Newsom in that interview gave me another reason why I don't want to vote for him come 2028.
For my whole philosophy of never trusting a suit, it's like, dude, you're just hitting that stereotype. Go fuck yourself.
This is the one thing where I agree with Charlie Kirk and Gavin Newsom. He is the idea. He is the quintessential politician of, like, every elected position is just a stepping stone to the next one. I think he's played that game a little bit better than Kamala Harris. I think Kamala Harris rose up way too fast. Partly her fault, partly not her fault.
Fuck her.
Yeah, but fuck I think her. Where Newsom has played the long game a little better, but... Same thing, you know. I just
long game or long con.
I just want it. I just want the next seat of power. That's all I want. That's all I'm going for. I say all this mean stuff about Newsom just to show that I am not some, you know, liberal who's like, you know, he's a Democrat, so I have to support him. Which you hear that a lot in some like Blue MAGA Twitter, or like, hey, why are you saying mean things about Gavin Newsom? Well, because Gavin Newsom kind of sucks. Okay. Like he's a useful tool right now in the fight against Trump, but
he's a useful tool, but he's still a tool.
Like he's a tool, but I'll use him if I need to. But he's still a tool, and that leads us to this redistricting thing, which is going to go on our ballot this November. So. Republicans are doing the thing where they've been doing this for decades, especially ever since when 2013 the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which is long considered one of the two big achievements of Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. Texas decided to go a step further in trying to rig the U.S. Congress for Republicans.
Of course Texas would go further.
Texas has always been about gerrymandering districts. They've been big on that for a while. If you look at like the Austin on a Texas congressional map, it's like they split the city off like spokes of a fucking wheel, where it's like, oh, you get this little bit of Austin. Austin is very liberal, probably like the most liberal part of Texas. You get this like little sliver of Austin, but it's also part of this wad of red meat ruralness that's going to outnumber the blue. So like Austin basically has no representation in the U.S. Congress at all. But they went a step further where they've rigged the districts even further to where maybe they could add five more seats. The Republicans have a very thin margin in the House of Representatives. Five more Republican seats could do a lot to secure the House for them. Maybe forever, or at least until, I don't know, Republicans are booted out. So Texas doing that, and the weird thing about Texas doing that is because they're doing this in 2025, 5 years after the census. So they already did this 5 years ago, and that's usually when you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that after the census, but they're doing this in 2025 because Trump is president now, and they want to rig the Congress further. They don't want to have to worry about losing in the midterms. Which could very likely happen, because that's usually what happens in every presidential term. The midterms swing the other way. So California, under Newsom, California Democrats, because they control the California government, they've been pretty hawkish of like, oh, you want to do that? Well, we can do that too. We did have an independent districting commission, which was nonpartisan and just did it itself and had no influence from the, you know, the state government at all. But we could just discard with that and then rig the districts ourselves and then even it out. And so Gavin Newsom pushed that in. It got passed by the assembly, and now it's been signed. And then it's Newsom signed it. And I guess because it affects the Constitution, the state Constitution, it has to go to a referendum that gets voted on by the people of California in November.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish they didn't have to do that because I don't know. Have you seen ads for this?
I've voting? Seen the yes and vote no for, is it Prop 50 or something like that? Is it,
yeah,
is
Prop 50.
And the yes and the no. And the thing for me, with the whole redistricting thing, first of all, Texas, fucking Lone Star State, fuck, shove it up my ass. Like, really, like, Lone Star State, just shove it up your ass. My ass, your ass, it's just go in someone's ass, the whole concept. But the fact of that, redistricting for 5 more seats. We got to have those 5 more. It's like, all right, fine. We're retaliating, basically, like a tit for tat. 5 more seats. All this shit I see on the news with this political BS, let's not include all the natural disaster shit that's happened that we need our fellow Americans to get housed and fed. Let's not fucking even think about the fact that across the world, Russia is still bombing the fuck out of Ukraine. Let's not figure out also too and ignore the fact that there might be a new axis of power involving China, Russia, North Korea, and India.
Yeah.
By the way, Russia has been giving India fighter jets for a couple of months now as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's all ignore this and let's talk about this redistricting. And all I have to say to that is, how does this make me pay my taxes in a more happier mood? Like, God fucking damn it. All this political fucking bullshit just to keep them happy.
Here's the thing. I am so sick of Republicans being like, we're going to gerrymander the fuck out of our states. And Democrats being like, especially in California, kind of being like, well, we're not going to do that because we want to play things fair. And, you know, when they go low, we go high. And, well, when we go high, they win. I'm gonna vote yes on 50. Even though I hate gerrymandering, but it's kind of like it's like a shock absorber thing of like, it's not fair for the state, but it's fair for the country. What I'm worried about is how you sell that to the people now that you're asking a bunch of you're asking the masses to vote, and there's going to be a lot of money piling into ads on our airwaves for and against. And I will say the against group, their talking points are pretty solid. Hey, why are we taking away this redistricting commission that theoretically exists to make our representation in Congress more fair? Why are we taking that away? That's wrong. It's a form of rigging elections without rigging elections. It's like,
it's the legal way.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, we're rigging it statewide, but we're also kind of, we're stopping the rigging nationwide. But that's like, their talking points are going to be compelling. And I could see Prop 50 failing because of that, in the way I've seen many referendums I voted for fail because just the other side had a better campaign strategy.
It's kind of like that Mel Gibson question from The Patriot.
Why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
It's kind of like that in the sense of like, oh, so fucked here, but good there. I don't care about there, I care about here.
Like, here's the logic that I'm operating with of like, imagine if MLB did not have rules or consequences for using performance-enhancing drugs.
Barry Bonds.
Like Barry Bonds, yeah. Imagine if, like, you know, you get, like, because if you get caught with PEDs, if you get tested and they think that you have PEDs in your system, you're suspended for, like, 80 games, which is half a season.
Yeah.
That's a harsh penalty. But if MLB didn't have that, if MLB didn't have punishments and therefore incentive to not use performance-enhancing drugs, everybody would do them just to keep up, to say nothing of the health consequences.
No, just to have a great season.
Well, right now, if we're to expand this analogy, there are no we are in a system where the proverbial MLB, which in this case is our Supreme Court, is saying, actually, steroids are okay. To use the analogy, the Supreme Court said steroids are okay. Cheat all you want. It's totally legal. We're not going to stop you. There are no guardrails against this. And if you don't have the guardrails, if you don't have the rules, if you don't have the consequences, if you don't have the enforcement, you're saying it's okay. And therefore, if the only justification against not doing the cheating is pure moral arguments, you've lost. Because one side is going to cheat, and the only way to keep up
is to cheat
against. And at that point, it's like, do you want to have healthcare? Do you want to have Medicare? Do you want to have Medicaid? Do you want the federal government? Do you want to have Social Security? Do you care about these things that the federal government helps you for? Well, the Republicans actively want to take all those things away, and they're doing whatever they can to stay in power so they can take more of those things away. So and so just standing, twiddling your thumbs and being like, well, that's not fair. It's like the guy who brought a knife to a gunfight and is complaining that the gun owner didn't follow the rules of the knife fight. Well, that's not going to help you not get shot, motherfucker. It's a very, very sad reality. I'm just, in my view is, I'm just working with the reality I'm living in, no longer wistfully dreaming of the one I want. I can do that later.
The real sad reality is that the majority of every politician, whether it is local to federal, just sees the average American as a pawn on the chessboard. That's the real sad reality of it. And we've been seeing that more and more. Just more and more since 9/11, we've been seeing that. Let's just be honest. And it's become more apparent as years go by, as presidents change hands, as presidents come back, and other things happening with, you know, gerrymandering, how other states are bitching at each other and other things. And when you find out, it's like, you know what? It comes down to the specifics of, like, beyond what you're saying. Like, hey, do you like healthcare? Do you like Social Security? Do you like this? Do you like that? How about this? Hey, Travis, do you like certain books?
Sure, I like certain books.
Now, fuck it. Put it in the fire. I'm being serious. Like, it's going more than that. We're really getting down to, like, the everyday thing here that's getting fucked over with these fucking people. And it's the most annoying thing now at the time that everyone's just saying, well, it's actually both sides. It's like, fuck it then. Let's get rid of it. Like, there's other fucking parties here that actually represent the average American more than these two fuckers.
Or there's better candidates that don't get the party's backing, like Mamdani.
Well, whether they're better or they're shown to be more favorable.
Yeah.
No, doesn't work with the game. Because, like I keep saying, Robin Williams is right. The Democrats and Republicans are just laughing about us behind closed doors. Or as George Carlin would say, it's a small club. You ain't in it. It's all set, rigged, mapped out for Stone. I honestly think that Newsom and whoever the governor of Texas is, because I don't give a fuck to
Governor Greg Abbott.
Okay, Abbott and Newsom, I bet they hang out.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet they, no, and they're not hang out just because they have to. I bet they fucking hang out. All these fucking people hang out. This whole redistricting thing, it's like this. God damn it, do we have to do this? Like, it's like, this is what we have to right now do for the greater good when there's a bunch of other shit that needs to be regraded. Because, okay, let's redistrict California. Great. How does it get the fucking homeless fed and sheltered? Let's redistrict California. Great. How do we get more services for those with mental and physical handicaps? Let's redistrict California. How the fuck does that help the foster care system, the orphanages, and all the other bullshit that we see day to day, but they won't because of their private car and security systems?
Yeah, it's like, that's a good point. It's like, you know, I suppose it's fair to ask if you get more Democrat. Let's say, oh, we rig it, and now the Democrats have the majority in the House. Okay, does that mean those systems, those concerns that you mentioned, are actually going to get addressed? Maybe with certain. Well, maybe certain members of the party want to do that. Does Chuck Schumer want to do that? Does Hakeem Jeffries really care to, you know, actually reform any of those systems? Or do they just want to run, campaigns based on, say what you want about me, but the other guy is worse. Please don't piss off my Wall Street friends.
Please, for the love of God, don't piss off them.
Schumer could have had a government shutdown and stop a lot of the shit that Trump was doing and force the administration to give in on some things. But where's the money? Where's the money in that? Oh, no, it would hurt the stock market. And I'm a New York congressman. So, yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Fucking Schumer. Schumer and Jeffries, they both need to go. They're not the only ones, but there's like
all this crap does is just make American citizens become more hostile towards each other than it already is at already. Really, all this is just because pitting the same group of people against each other makes more money. It's like we all are the same people. These fuckers are just fucking with us with this more smoke and mirrors bullshit when we got more problems, because the real big concern for me as an American, besides my old, you know, feeding my family and other stuff, would be like, isn't it interesting how we have no actual allies and there seems to be a lot of countries who'd be willing to fucking kill us?
a lot of countries are not happy with how we are right now.
And not even happy. They fucking hate us. and they've had a meeting, which with a fun military parade. The better, oddly enough, it was a better military parade than we could pull off. They would happily invade and kill us all.
I don't know. Well, certain countries, yes.
No, fuck Russia and fuck China. They'd happily fucking do it.
Yes, that's what I meant. like Russia and China, yeah, maybe. Although we buy so much stuff from China, they might not want to fuck that.
No, we'll just be made to make it now at that point. But I'm just saying, though, it's like there's bigger problems. Mm-hmm. We want to do this crap, fine. We have to focus on this shit in November because I guess we have to look forward to this in November. We can't look forward to Landman Season 2. We got to look forward to this crap. Great. Let's take care of this.
I don't know who's looking forward to Landman Season 2.
It's a hit show, Travis. Come on.
I guess it is. I thought it was.
It's trash. But what I'm saying is just this is more more bullshit for no reason. That, yes, was started by Texas because it's like we got to have more. Just five more seats. Wouldn't that be
Texas
great?
Texas is a fucking cesspool. Well, yeah. It's like, okay, this guy. Actually, going to like the concern thing, how is this going to help me with this? It's like, well, what are the Republicans going to do if they just maintain control of Congress? More immigration raids, probably more crackdowns against dissenters in a way that threatens the First Amendment, which I don't think we can rely on the Supreme Court to help us out with that.
All government hates the First Amendment. Yeah. All government hates it.
I mean, the immigrant thing is kind of like, someone put this succinctly where it's like, yes, someone who's like very hawkish against like immigration, you just ask the question, how is this going to make your life better? They can't really answer that. Because it's like, are you going to work those jobs? And they're going to say no, because those are not, they're usually not the kind of people that would work those jobs anyway.
Are you going to feel safer walking down your street? Probably not.
Probably not.
Because, okay, we get rid of illegals making crimes and killing people. Sure, great, we got rid of them. What about my fellow Americans who are doing it?
Who do it more often than the illegals do.
I know my fellow Americans are fucking killing people and committing crimes and shit.
For statistically, a guy with a U.S. birth certificate is much more likely to do something bad to me than an illegal immigrant.
That's what I'm saying. What it comes down to is just, I'll just ask again, how is this going to make me happier to pay my taxes again? All this bullshit that is done year in and year out over now decades for our fathers involving this and now us being voters for what? Coming up on just a little over a decade. How am I going to be happier paying my taxes? Which I believe in, there should be taxes, but how am I going to be happier paying them? How really am I going to be a happier person paying my taxes because this is happening and this is happening and that is happening and you feel this is the moral soul being saved for America? And I'm like this, dude, I just want to clock in, clock out, hang out with my sons. What the fuck are you talking about? Because no matter what, I will always lock my front door.
I just think about like the signing bonuses for like new recruit ICE agents. It's like a $50,000 signing bonus, and it's like, yeah, it's gonna pay really well. I'm like, you can do that, but Medicare for All is too high of an ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, which just further proves to me, it's like this bullshit about like, oh, we can't do it. It would never work here. Fuck you. You can't do it here because you choose not to do it. It's not a matter of like whether it's possible. It's a matter of priorities. And again, I go back to the question, like, how is this going to make your life better? It won't. It's just going to make other people's lives worse. That's not the same as making your life better. Having health insurance will make your life better. Having a stable retirement will make your life better in the end.
Wow. Making other people's lives better. What would Jesus do? Fuck.
Apparently, Jesus is not following. Jesus does not mean you're empathetic. Apparently, Jesus was not empathetic, according to the religious Republicans these days.
Yeah, because I guess he wasn't healing the lepers for free.
Yeah, no, He didn't resurrect Lazarus for any good reason.
Didn't turn water into wine. That's alcoholic.
And it almost makes you wonder what the big deal of this Jesus guy was. Like, did he do anything special, or was it just the fact that he was the Son of God?
Hey, man, coming out of someone's balls must mean something.
Yeah.
Must mean something.
Yeah, like, oh, he's the Son of God. Great. Well, what did he do? What did he do? What did he actually do? Why did he break that? Why did he destroy that temple? Why did he ransack the temple? Because, like, is it because he thought, like, the commercialization of the temple was, like, bad? You know, the mixing of faith and money was, like, a bad thing? Or is he just, like, a fucking asshole? Like,
why did he hang out with that prostitute so much? That fucking blows my mind. I mean, my wife won't let me hang out with a prostitute, but hey, Jesus.
Yeah.
Kidding, honey, I love you.
Do
you honestly think, well, we're coming to this point, I guess another question I have, because I talk about this with other friends. We are coming in at the end of the first year of this term. We are seeing a lot of bullshit happening within our borders, outside our borders, and people are upset. Both sides are upset. It seems like I think the Democrats and Republicans did a great job of pitting America against itself. Because sooner or later, we have to realize that it's supposed to be us against our politicians because we voted for them. That's the point. We can rip them out. These aren't kings. These aren't monarchs. These aren't dynasties. Fuck the Kennedys. I'm really fuck yeah. Dynasties. Fuck, hey, you know, my son might do it. My daughter might do it. Or, hey, I've been doing this for so long. It's like, you know what? I hate the term career politician. Get your term. Do it. Go fuck off. Get a normal job. Because you are so disconnected from us. All of them are. Trump is for the common man. Motherfucker, show me the calluses on your hand. Yeah. No, I don't trust. I at this point, I'm like this. I can't trust you if you don't have calluses on your hand. I can't, man or woman. Because guess what? My mom and my wife fucking work. So we're at this point now. We got to ask ourselves, not what can we do? What should we do? What's going to happen? How's it going to go down? The rest of the world is watching us with either worry in their eyes or drool coming down their jaw. That's where we're at right now. We are really at each other's throat for no reason. No side's helping us. I swear to fucking, sometimes I'm like, I wish Bernie was younger. He seemed like the only guy who fucking cared.
I wish for that too. Unfortunately, Mamdani cannot qualify for president because he was born in Uganda. So,
and you know, and you bring up Mamdani too because I know this. I don't know, you were on vacation when this happened. The whole thing of like, hey, look at, he can't even bench 135. You want to vote for this guy? And I'm like, does that matter in politics? Benching? Yeah, I'll agree. It was an embarrassing PR thing. Dude, think ahead. Don't go fucking lifting weights with a camera. But really, Republicans? Benching over 135 is what dictates a good political leader?
I didn't even see the video. He
just couldn't bench 135. That's it.
The whole
whatever it is, they're just shitting on him because he can't bench 135.
Was he like, look at me, I'm in the gym, I'm a normal guy?
No, he looked like he was outside from what I saw.
Oh, okay.
But the whole concept is, oh, you can't bench more than 135? You can't lead America. It's like, what does that have to do with leading? What is being a political official, which is a desk jockey job, have to do with benching more than 135? By the way, a lot of YouTube conservative Republican influencers, yep. That was a lot to say out of my mouth. They're doing a new challenge. The challenge that they're basically satiring on. Do you remember that movie Lone Survivor?
I don't think I watched it, but yes. Yeah.
One of the main guys in there.
Didn't that story turn out to be kind of full of shit?
Yes, but that's what I'm not talking about.
Okay.
There's a man in there who, I think it's Mike Murphy. I hope I'm not getting this wrong. There's the Mike Murphy challenge that happened like a few years after that movie. A lot of people were saying, you know, oh, I ran this many miles, did this many bench presses, did this many push-ups, this many pull-ups, all within this amount of time, and now I challenge you. A lot of celebrities did it. John Krasinski and The Rock did it together and then challenged like Mark Wahlberg. Basically, it was not only honoring this great veteran, but also a healthy challenge. Like, hey, go to the extreme with your help, you know, health, run 5 miles straight, then bench this. It was like, basically that's what it was. People, it's like the ice bucket challenge. It's like, hey, I challenge you to do this. Now YouTubers, Republican YouTubers are challenging you. Hey, I bench you to, you know, bench 235 so you're not a socialist. You'll bench, I challenge this person to bench this much to show they're a real American. I'm like this. You're benching 5 reps of 235 to prove you're an American? That makes you an American? Benching 235?
It's all just a big grift anyway. It's all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're at this point now where we're doing different versions of the fucking ice bucket challenge for politics.
I think it says something a lot about where conservatism is at these days. Because if you go on, like, lefty YouTube, it's all about, why are we funding a genocide in Gaza? Hey, why don't we guarantee health insurance for all Americans? Why can't we... I don't know, stop talking about defunding Social Security. This is why I don't buy... I always give a side eye when someone mentions horseshoe theory, even when it turns out to be valid, because it's like, you know, when you go in lefty spaces, they talk about real things. They talk about real things affecting people. But as you said, if the new trend on Republican YouTube, conservative YouTube, is how fast can you bench, and that somehow demonstrates like how patriotic you are. Like, if that's where they're at, that just says everything right there.
So that's where we're at, though. I'm just saying, it's come to this, and they love to bring up, like, oh, the family and stuff. I'm like, all right, fine. I got 2 boys. Trust me, I'm going to educate them way better than this shit, and I'll be making sure that they read books that are banned. I'm honestly thinking it's just both sides wanting to make money for themselves, and we'll just keep our voters just slightly happy to get through it continuously. And we'll just keep doing that every 4 years, because every 4 years to this election shit is not working out.
And the Republicans will gain more and more power, get more unholy things passed that hurt people, and the Democrats will just cave at every top of Putin and cave and set the table for their Republican replacements to do worse things instead of actually trying to
fix
shit.
Or like you even said too with Newsom, veto something that could have been done.
Right?
And so it's like both parties are failing. With each side having a sprinkle of people who are like, oh, he's great. Let's get him.
Yeah.
Both sides have it. Both Republicans and Democrats have a sprinkling of men and women here like this. Oh, come here. Come here. Come here and you get on the podium.
And the people with the money will be like, no, no, we can't have that guy. And the people who aren't paying attention are people who pay attention less, which is the people we really got to reach out to. You know, they're the ones who are most susceptible to the money not going to the right people. Because they'll be like, oh, that guy, I've heard of that guy.
And more people are paying attention, less and less are fed up, because look how tired we all are on average. That movie Vice had that great little moment of like, if I'm working longer hours for little pay and have not this much time, and I'm doing this and this and I have to do this and this all to stay afloat, I'm exhausted and I know no one's looking after me, why the fuck should I care about any of this shit?
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of like not doing it verbatim.
More or less.
Jesse Plinkett had a more longer monologue with it, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons, sorry, Plemons. But yeah, it's just like the average American is very fed up, both Republican and Democrat, and both of the voters have gotten played for too long.
That's why, like, what was it, that one poll where the Democrats were polling, their favorability polling was like at 7%, and it was like the lowest ever.
I think it was staged for them to fail. Like, really, this whole thing.
You guys are fucking up. That's really bad. It's like, you know, you have this, again, controversial president. And so, like, a lot of people who are like, I didn't want this guy. I didn't want Trump to come back. I'm scared that Trump is president again. They're looking for the Democrats as, like, the only opposition party. And if the polling, if the favorability polling is that low, which means even among Democrats, like registered Democrats, like the favorability is that low, that means people don't trust you to be a stopgap, to be real opposition, to do anything. What does that say about you?
It's like Jeff Daniels said, if Democrats are so smart, then why do you always lose so goddamn fucking always?
Yeah. He actually said liberals, but it works. I mean, it's the same thing. I guess in conclusion, you know, we got this vote. Again, it's kind of the emotional grievances of it all. This is why I wish we didn't have to vote on this. I wish this could have just been Texans didn't have to vote for their redistricting thing. That all of that was confined to the assembly. Their representatives did this. And as a result, let's be real, probably a lot of Texans don't give a fuck. And they wouldn't have had to give a fuck because they didn't have to deal with it themselves. But we have to deal with this ourselves because I guess for some procedural reason, it can't just be like the assembly passes it, Newsom signs into law, we're good. It has to go to the people. It has to go to the people to vote, which means this is our problem, directly our problem. And it's just going to be one more thing Californians are going to bitch and whine about for the next 2 months.
Thank you. Thank you, Newsom. You fuck twat.
I hope it's a procedural thing where it's like they would have done it themselves if they could, but they can't legally. They can't. They has to go to the ballot.
Do you also think sometimes, though, when you brought up legally, because do you think it was sent to us as Californians to vote? So it's like, hey, I'm not legally liable now.
I really hope that's not the case. Where it's like, don't look at me. I gave it to the people. Or if they gave it to the people for a public vote as like a show to make the mandate more legit. Like, well, if the people vote for this, then it's even more legit than what Texas. I really hope it's not that. I hope it's just simply a procedural thing. The whole thing. The whole fucking thing is just... It sucks. I'm gonna vote yes on it, but I hate that it's come to this.
I'm holding out with my vote on this because something, like I told you this too when we were texting about when we were planning to do this episode. I'm holding off my like answer for until like a little closer because something tells me something's gonna hit the fucking fan from now until then. Like something's going to literally unravel.
Like what do you think would happen? Because it's like I mean, it's not like a politician where, you know, they're a person and they discover a new skeleton. Yeah. This is all in writing.
I'm hoping that Texas backtracks. So then it just to show like, okay, we realize that we're doing stupid shit for just more seats.
That is like written in there where it's like... where it is written into the bill where it's like, we'll only do this if Texas... okays it.
That's what I'm saying. Something tells me like that's my best case is just I hope they backtrack.
Mm-hmm. They won't though.
I know. I'm just hey, gotta have hope. The worst case, Texas does something where then it goes like, okay, we're not just gonna redistrict, we're gonna do this.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what happened, folks. We got 2 months from time of recording for this to happen. Just read everything from both sides. No matter how much you hate Republicans or Democrats, read everything that they're throwing out there so you have the full thing. And always stay positive. I guess that's all I got.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.